Good morning. I join with Rick in welcoming you to this service, and let us pray. Oh Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and in love, and strength to follow you on the path that you have set before us through Christ our Lord. Amen. There are two different scripture verses or sections that we're going to read this morning. The first one comes from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and God said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it up on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. And then from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is a judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That great musician Tom Petty once wrote, "The waiting is the hardest part." Sparky was a name given to a young boy who grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, over 80 years ago. He was a very intelligent young boy, very shy though, incredibly shy. His mother helped him make Valentine's Day cards for his grade school class, but his shyness kept him from passing them out, so he brought them home with him in the afternoon. He tried his hand at drawing and even enrolled in a correspondence school, and the correspondence school thought his drawings of children were mediocre, and so they gave him a C. His drawings for his high school yearbook were turned down, and he fell in love with a little redhead girl, but his proposal for marriage was rejected. And then his mother died when he was just 20 years old. What do you do with a life like that? What do you do with a life that is filled with so much rejection? If that was you, could you keep going? Could you keep hoping for a better day? What do you think? Is there much hope for a guy who was rejected as much as Sparky? Well, good grief, if your name is Charles Schultz, what you do with all of that is you turn all of those painful childhood memories into a comic strip, and you call it Peanuts, and you become the most famous cartoonist in the world. And regardless of how many times that he failed, Charlie Brown always hoped that the little redhead girl would say yes, that Snoopy would listen, and that Lucy would not pull the football away. He never lost hope. Does anyone here need something to hope for? A few weeks ago, we began a journey. It's a journey that many pilgrims have taken throughout the years in their walks with Christ. It's a journey in the season that we call Lent, where we walk with Jesus to Jerusalem. And in this season, each one of us has been encouraged to enter into a spiritual practice, something that we might give up, or as Jamie has often encouraged us, to add something on in terms of doing something for others. Or maybe to participate in a spiritual practice that might draw each one of us closer to God and engage our relationship with God. And all of these practices point us to the day that this season leads us to. They point us to the most important day on the Christian calendar, the day that we celebrate what makes Christianity so unique among all religions. We speak of this as Christians, that we are people of hope. And our hope is in something specific. Our hope is in the resurrection of Christ, the event that we celebrate on Easter. We will call out on Easter Sunday, "He is risen," and the congregation will respond by saying, "He is risen indeed." It is a day of resurrection. And as Christians, we have hope in the resurrection. But for now and in this season and throughout our lives, we wait. And the waiting is the hardest part. Waiting is a theme that comes up over and over again in Scripture. The Bible is an earthy book that understands the struggles of the human condition. If we look to Jeremiah, the way that Jeremiah looked at life was through a promise that God made to Israel to love her to the end, the promise that God made to never abandon Israel, the promise that God made to be faithful no matter what, that despite all of the evidence to the contrary, despite the fact that Jerusalem was a pile of ruin, despite the appearances that maybe God had in fact abandoned Israel, Jeremiah never let go of the promise. "Someday," he said, "someday a righteous branch will spring up, and Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety." But the waiting is the hardest part. In the book of Numbers, after God had freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, as Israel was spending its time wandering in the desert, they came to the land of Edom. And we're told that the people of God became impatient. They just couldn't wait any longer. And they spoke out against God and Moses, thinking that they were just going to die in the wilderness, that God had deserted them. And we're told that God sends poisonous serpents who bite the people, many of whom die. And the people of God realize very quickly that they have done something to anger God, and they start entering into some very serious spiritual practices. They begin to repent and go to Moses, and they confess their sins. And the Lord tells Moses to fashion out of bronze a serpent and set it on this pole, and whoever is bitten, if they would just look up and see the serpent on the pole, that they would live. If only you would look up. If only you can raise your eyes from the struggles that you're in. If only you can realize that there is a God in your midst who wants to give you hope. How are you? Is there something that you need to hope for? You know, it seems far-fetched to think of serpents infesting the land in North Jersey, and we are far from being in ruin here. But maybe for those of us who live in New Jersey, the serpents don't slither on the ground. Maybe the deadly serpents may be things that are far more cunning. Maybe the serpents are overworking in order to keep up with everybody else. Maybe the deadly serpent is having lives so busy that we never take time to recognize that God is all around us. Maybe the deadly serpent is a health issue, or maybe the deadly serpent is a failing relationship. There are deadly serpents all around us that seem to be killing us slowly. And it doesn't take much for life to feel like God has got it against us. And John steps forward today to make a claim that God has a plan. Just as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. God has a plan for each one of us. If only we would look up from our circumstances and have our hope in God. There is a promise, an eternal hope. You know, Lent is a very strange time. It begins in the darkness of winter, quietly with Ash Wednesday. And as Easter approaches, decorations come out, and Easter bunnies, and children's bonnets, and purchasing the Easter dresses for our daughters. And the day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday seems to be relegated these days to Easter egg hunts. And we spend a lot of time in Lent trying to distract ourselves from what this season is about. The true hope is that we don't have it in bonnets and bunnies, that the true hope that we have is that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that amidst the desolation and the ruin of the world that our God gives us hope, that even though we watch on TV problems going on in the Middle East with ISIS, or maybe hear stories coming out of Newark and East Orange and wonder whether or not those communities will ever recover, or maybe it's parents knowing that this Easter is the first Easter that you will have without your child because they are off somewhere. And the list goes on, and we wait, and we wonder whether we will have hope. And as we wait and we wonder whether or not there is anything that we can do. Maybe there's a spiritual practice that we can do. And John steps forward and gives us some ideas. While you're waiting, do what's right. If you've got two coats, share one with another. If you've got extra food in your pantry, give some away. Do what's right, and then wait. Because that, of course, is what the Christian life is about. It's about waiting for Christ's return. And it's about living out the calling that we have to be followers of Christ while we wait. You see, Lent is for people who don't have their lives together and wish that they were. It's for people who have something missing and are waiting for them to be filled. It's for people who look around and see ruin and wait for structure. Lent is for people who need something to hope for. They don't need much, but they need hope. Hope that God will make it better. And sometimes that's all you really need is something to hope for. Isn't that what happens when parents bring a baby forward to be baptized? They know that life has all sorts of tricks up its sleeve. And they don't know what those tricks are going to be for their child. They don't know what issues that their child will have. They don't know what decisions their child will make. And all they want at that moment is for that baby to know that no matter what, that child is a child of the covenant, of the promise, of the hope that we have in Christ. That no matter what, God will never let them down, and that mom and dad will never let them down. So when trouble comes, and trouble seems to come to all of us at some point, when trouble comes, there is someone to call on earth as well as in heaven. Sometimes while you wait, all you need is a little bit of hope. You know, history is filled with people who have hoped, who believe that despite how life went against them, that God was still for them, that God had a plan, a purpose. If you cripple him, you have Sir Walter Scott. If you lock him in a prison cell, you have John Bunyan. If you bury him in the snows of Valley Forge, you have George Washington. If you strike him down with infant paralysis, you have FDR. Deafen him, and you have Beethoven. Have him born black in the racist South, and you have Martin Luther King Jr. Have him lose his job, fail in business, defeated in a half a dozen elections, and lose his own child, and you have Abraham Lincoln. And all they needed as they waited was a promise that God was with them. Do you ever hear the story of Glenn Cunningham? When Glenn Cunningham was 8 years old, he and his brother Floyd were caught in a fire inside of a schoolhouse. His brother Floyd died in the fire, and Glenn was badly burned, especially his legs. And the doctors took one look and said that they had to amputate, and little Glenn begged them not to, but they said that they had to. And then little Glenn remembered a verse that he learned in Sunday school from Isaiah chapter 40. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's all that little Glenn needed as he waited to heal, just that promise. And so the surgeon stayed his scalpel, and little Glenn kept his legs. And God kept that promise to little Glenn. As Glenn Cunningham went on to set the world record in running the mile. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So friends, what is your hope in this Lenten season? The prophets step forth into the midst of the ruins, the smoldering city, the exiled community, the desert wanderers, the residents of North Jersey. among all of those of us who wait and says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. A righteous branch will spring up, one who shall execute justice and righteousness. Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety." And John writes, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life." It's what Lent is about. It's what Lent is for. For those of you who need hope, though life may feel as though it is against you, we have a hope. Our hope is in Jesus, the resurrected Son of God. Amen.